All right, let's get going. This is Diane, and it is Tuesday, June 26th. I'm here with Jennifer and Lauren, and let's start in with check-ins and celebrations. Who wants to go first?
This is my first time for PSS.
How is it? Welcome to PSS. Lauren, I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
So did you get a chance, before you jumped in, did you get a chance to listen to the orientation call so you know kind of how we do things, or I can absolutely...
I listened to half of it, so I think I have a pretty good idea.
Well, so I want to celebrate first that this is your first time, and we're excited to have you here in the Tuesday at noon group. And it's summer, so we never know who's going to show up during summer because it's always going to be hit or miss with us. So it's always mm-hmm. nice to have a little smaller, intimate group. But Jennifer's been in our group for a long time. Why don't you start by just kind of telling us about your kiddo and something else about yourself.
Okay, so I have a 17-year-old son, and where do I start? So I guess the quick version is we've always kind of known he's had attention challenges, but he's always done fine in school, so we've never really addressed them. And with driving and the amount of time that it takes him to do his homework, we kind of started delving more into the whole ADD journey, I guess, or kind of what that means and what it looks like, and trying to give him tools so that he can be successful in his life just this past year. And so that's kind of where we are. Yeah, I don't know. I think if I wanted to take aim on one thing, he's, even though it's the summer, he is taking two classes this summer just to get him out of the way. And he is only motivated by urgency. So he needs, it needs to be the 12th hour until he feels that motivation to get started. So if I can take aim on one thing, it's, I think, helping him figure out other ways to get motivated besides that urgency.
Awesome. Love that. So typically what we'll do, but there's only two of you, so it won't be a big deal, but there's we'll do check-ins and celebrations, and then we'll go back around and do...
Oh, I did that. Okay.
That's all right. Take a name, but you did. You're already on top of it, Lauren. I appreciate it. So, Jennifer, what about you? And I want to say happy birthday week for you, too, because
Lauren,
what you know is Jennifer and I gave birth on the same exact day in the same exact hospital. 19 years
fun.
Ago this Friday. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, it was in January.
Oh, wait. It's our younger ones that are... It's our younger ones that are the same day. I keep mixing
My only one...
Your only one was born the same day as my daughter. That's what it
right.
is. And it's my son's birth. So I was remembering wrong.
Sorry. I thought you were saying you have a birthday to me. And it's like, well, yeah, because you don't have a call next week.
So your birthday is next week? Well, there you go.
Yes.
Happy birthday next week.
Thank you.
That's really funny. So check in.
Nothing really to, report or check on. I mean, it's summer. I've been lying low with... school stuff, although he and his counselor, when they met on Saturday, came up with a plan, which was funny. It was kind of sort of what I was thinking. So my job of it, since we don't have a computer at home, was to pull up all the Georgia standards for the classes he's taking next year.
So how old is your son, Jennifer?
17. He's going to be a senior.
Okay.
We've all got 17-year-olds. My 17-year-old's a girl. So, Jennifer, okay. So I'm going to, can I put you on the spot for a second with that?
Yeah.
So if your opportunity this summer is to, that you step back and you kind of hand stuff off to him a little bit more, your natural tendency would be to go in and pull all the standards. What's your real goal with the with doing that? And my secondary question is going to be kind of how do you hand some of that to him?
Well, the plan of why I did it is I wanted to review it, and then I wanted him to review it and see if he could get a feel of how much work would be involved in each class, because he's taking six classes, but three of them are going to be new each semester. So we have three semester classes and three year-long classes this year.
All right, so what if I can interrupt you for a second, so it sounds like what you're really trying to do is to help him gauge the workload for the fall. Is that fair?
Yes, and then if he feels like, oh, wow, there's going to be so much in this class, I hope I don't have them the same semester, for him to reach out to his case manager and the AP and say, hey, I did this, I reviewed this, and I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of work. I would rather not have them in the same semester and see, you know, have him advocate for himself before he, you know, the schedules become firm, and because I already know he won't be coming with me on the day that he gets his schedule because he's working.
Right. So hang on a second. So on a scale of asking to telling, where do you feel like you are with this particular project?
Well, we just talked about it Saturday, and mm-hmm. I printed off all the standards yesterday, and I just haven't left them in a place convenient for him to find them yet. But I'll definitely do that by this weekend.
When you met, I'm curious. Like, so this is your opportunity, right? So it's that sort of when you guys met on Saturday. How much of the conversation? How did you involve him in the conversation? Because I know that's one of the things you've been working on is involving him in kind of the planning part of it.
Well, actually, it was the tail end of his time with the counselor. His counselor. And she called us in and said, you know, they were worked on a game plan for the rest of the summer. And it was sort of the same thing in, you know, what I ended up, he was just going to look online to see what he could find about the classes. And I said, well, I was going to print the Georgia standards and basically wanted you to review them for the same reason. So he had already bought in talking with the counselor that it was something he could really see was a value for him. So my part was like, oh, great. Well, since we don't have the computer at home, I'll pull them up and print them off at work, and then we can go over them.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Okay. So where do you want to take aim in our conversation today?
I think that now that I've done it and pulled it off, and let's see, we've got 4.5 weeks before school starts. Oh, gosh, that sounds horrible.
Did you just say that out loud?
Ugh. I know. Well, I'm looking at my June calendar, and then I'm like, okay, now there's July, and it's like, I'm like, oh, wow. I don't think I'd repeat that to my son. That take aim in trying to get him to remember his what he had talked with his counselor about, and, you know, here's the information, you know, why don't you review this stack, and you review these three, and I'll review these three, and then we'll swap, and we can talk about it.
Well, I feel like it feels a little, you know, usually we'd want to take aim on something specific, but I guess I'm wondering when you think about this next phase of stuff, you know, it's one thing to kind of get it done, and it's another thing to kind of focus on helping him become more independent in doing it this summer. And, you know, he met with his counselor. It was a plan that they came up with. Can I challenge you to think about taking aim on how to help him to be a little bit more independent in doing this, or something around independence rather than just about getting it done?
Yeah.
What would that look like?
I think it would be here's the information, review it, and then, you know, like July X, we can talk about what you think about them. Or, you know, giving him several weeks on his own to pull up, or, you know, to do it himself.
Okay. So again, that sounds really specific. And so I guess the question is, is it important for you to kind of be really in that, down in that weed with kind of a specific task on this? Or is it really just about kind of looking at how you're interacting on it and how to help him to stay more accountable and more independent?
I don't know. I think I want him to be able to do it, because I'd rather him start the year. You know, with thinking positive already, that, oh, I can do this. Okay, I know what this class is going to be about. I think, you know, I just want him, I guess, to take ownership of it and, you know, say, yeah, well, okay, I can't do these two classes together or something. I want him to be able to come up with that, instead of me saying, well, do you really think econ and, you know, whatever aren't going to have a lot of work, that you can do them together? You know, I don't know. Yes, I would love for him to be able to find the things, read them, and say, hey, Mom. I don't know. That's not much of an answer.
Okay. So I hear what your intention is, and I'm wondering how it feels to just say you want to take aim on helping him to be more independent in tackling this summer work in the next 4.5 weeks. And then play with what that looks like as we talk through this conversation today.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Fine. Good.
Okay. Cool.
Can I
ask a question?
I'm still here. Can I ask a question kind of along the same topic? It's more of an example that happened this morning. But it's kind of all interrelated. So as I said, my son is taking these two classes, and one of them's online PE, which is fine, and the other is econ and personal finance, which they have to take in Virginia. It's an online class through Longwood University, so it's like a supposedly more challenging class. So they have these modules that they have to take, and they have them by a certain deadline. So the first ones are due, I think were due yesterday, so he completed those, and now he has a whole other set of new modules that are due July 2nd. And there's 8 modules total, and each module maybe like 3 videos and a quiz. So we are going to be out of town for 2 days. So we made a calendar, you know, and said, okay, here's what the time you have, and here's what is due. And he's kind of looked at that. Well, I was looking at the modules this morning and realized he basically has 4 days to complete these 8 modules, which is 2 per day. So got up this morning. He was like, you know, I think I'm going to take today off. He's been working on them. He was going to take today off. And I was like, well, you know, you have all, it's stressful for me thinking about all these things that he has due and little time to do them. So then that gets me like, oh my gosh, like you have to do these. And I know that he has a sense of urgency, which I was trying to give him a sense of urgency. But then he said, it's really, 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 really not helpful for you to tell me, you know, oh my gosh, you have all this stuff due and you have hardly any time to do it. And it makes me feel really overwhelmed, which I get that. And I was projecting my overwhelmed feelings onto him, or I was sharing my overwhelmed feelings with him. But I just don't, I guess, as we talk today, I don't know how to, and I asked him, I said, well, what could I do? I know, how can I convey this to you? And he said, well, maybe if you just say like how many I would have to do, but it goes back to the being independent thing versus getting it done. But I want him to do it. I want him to be independent and do that. But at the same time, you know, not leaving all of these to the very last minute. Like, I just don't know how to guide him.
So there's a short answer and a long answer. So let me give you the short answer now, and then when we kind of get into today's topic, and let's see if there's an assistance in that can give us. But the short answer is, you know, you want to figure out what he can realistically do independently right now without your help, and challenge him to get to the next level, right? And so it's that balance of, he may want to do it more independently, but it may not be realistically for him to do it independently, and you want to scaffold and, you know, let him try something on his own and then jump in with a little bit of help, and then let him try something on his own and jump in with a little bit of help. It's kind of the iteration back and forth, because you're holding him accountable to moving it forward, but you're also kind of trying to give him as much latitude as you can give him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, cool. So how clear are you on where you're taking aim? I know you said you wanted to take aim on this idea of kind of helping him understand motivation and the role that urgency is playing for him now, and maybe try to make some shifts. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's still good for me.
Okay, cool. All right, so today's topic is using humor and play. And I like this topic, and it's really kind of interesting, because when we first created Parent Success System, we started talking about this idea of humor and play. Such a difference in our families in terms of humor and play. And I was still kind of in this space of being in charge of everything. I'm like this major type A mom trying to make sure everybody's getting everything done. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just can't deal with humor and play. Things have to get done. And it was just this sort of, I realized just how serious I am about everything. So what kind of came out of that is that the play is not just about games. It's not just about being funny. It's really about being lighthearted and being creative and really kind of trying to engage inner kids from a positivity perspective. And in the last 7, 8 years as I've been working on this, I realized that I am actually funny.
and that I can actually use humor and play as a tool, and it really does work really well with my kids. And, you know, something simple as, you know, making a joke at them. I still remember one time, and you guys will appreciate it because you have 17-year-olds, this sort of, my kid was really snarky one afternoon, and I just snarked back. And it wasn't a like purposeful snark. It was like actually a fake funny snark. And there was something in being funny about the whole thing that kind of broke it for him. And he went, oh, wait, you know, mom's not getting mad at me because I'm being snarky. She's just kind of trying to make light of the fact that I was just totally over the deep end. And I think that so much of what we deal with as parents is really challenging and exhausting and difficult. And so trying to find ways to make things a little lighter and make them, you know, fun and funny really does help. And it will, and for many of our kids, it'll connect in a very different way. So I'm curious kind of what comes up for you guys under this idea of using humor and play.
I feel like I do an okay job of trying to do that. I think I get a lot of eye rolls. I'm like, oh my gosh, most of the time. But I feel like I try to do that some of the time.
And what do you notice happens when you do it for them and for you?
Oh, it's definitely helpful for both of us. As long as I'm able to, you know, sometimes you're so frustrated or that you cannot do that, but, or I guess it's a lot more challenging to do that, but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely helpful.
Okay. So it's helpful for both you and for your kids, or do you notice that it makes it easier for you, or does it feel kind of foreign when you do it?
No, I think it makes it easier. I mean, I think it helps make it easier for me because then I'm not feeling so whatever I was feeling before. Like, it just makes it lighter for me. I don't really know what it makes it for them.
So it's interesting that you say that, because what you're pointing out is that sometimes it's about helping you in a situation, and sometimes it's about helping them.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the our biggest challenge is with my son is over his phone. Like, that's really the only thing that he's not really disrespectful or rude, or he's a pretty easygoing kid. It's just over his phone usage. That's the majority of our challenges. So I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
Jennifer, what would you add? Oop, do you have us on mute?
Yes, I'm sorry. My husband and son always say that too serious, and I take everything too serious. But, you know, I've been trying to loosen up some and just that I can't always, that it's not always the task at hand right then that has to be focused on, I can, you know, stop and sort of joke around with my son and my husband. And just, you know, trying to not be so serious and also not having my son take himself so serious. We went to Walmart this weekend and had to get some stuff, and he wanted to go look at the 4th of July stuff because at camp where he works next week they have America Week. So they tend to wear costumes and stuff that covers the theme. And he ended up putting on this big, huge 10-gallon 4th of July looking hat. And as he turned, I mean, I caught this picture of him with him, like, kind of trying not to laugh and thinking, oh, I'm going to look miserable, but trying, you know, it's like I could see the laugh in his eyes. And it's like, well, you know, you could have just laughed. It was funny, you wearing that big, huge hat. And so then he tried on a couple other silly things, but it's like, you know, it's okay to make yourself look silly, I guess, and I guess me, but just to encourage it, because we ended up leaving Walmart just rolling, you know, in laughter.
Yeah.
You know, I keep threatening him if he's bad, I'm going to take him back to Walmart and make him buy that hat. But, you know, it's just trying to keep things lightened up, especially when we're not in the stress of summer, of school.
Right, right. Well, and the thing that's coming up for me, Jennifer, as you're talking about that, is part of what this does is it gives us time to just have fun with our kids. Even if it's that right. About something like work. And we all know that when we do that and we're strengthening our relationship with our kids, and when we strengthen our relationship with our kids, then it's easier to have the harder conversations. And so I think that's
right.
The other piece of it is that, you know, cracking up and laughing in the aisle at Walmart is, you know, 25 minutes of not talking about important stuff, you know, not important stuff, the stuff of life that just exhausts us and exhausts our kids and our relationship.
Right.
So I love that. And I want to see a picture of you in the hat, actually.
I don't know about that, but.
So, Jennifer, I think what's the other thing that's coming up is like, okay, so you're able to do that in Walmart around stuff around work. How do you bring some of that lightness into some of the more difficult conversations as you're planning for the fall and, you know, this kind of looking at the projects and everything else that's coming up in these different classes?
I think just maybe, you know, remembering time that it was easier, lighthearted, and just remember the good times.
Love that.
You gotta, you know, go back and see that there's, you know, other times. Yeah, everything's not bad times. Excuse me. You know, just remember, even if I got to print out the goofy pictures and paste them to the refrigerator. To have it in the forefront of our minds.
Yeah. Yeah, so when those rough days come, that you focus on remembering that moment in Walmart.
And right.
I know about for you, but it's kind of like, you know, those days that I get really infuriated with my kids, having a picture like that of them in some crazy hat in Walmart would be a great way for me to kind of go, oh, yeah, wait, I want to focus on what I love about these guys rather than what frustrates me, because that'll help keep my energy up and lighter.
Right.
Lauren, anything else for you on this?
Oh, no, that it all makes sense to me.
Cool. So when you, let's take this back to motivation, because that was the thing that you wanted to take aim on. And I'm wondering kind of what conversation you've had with your kiddo about the role of motivation. And you know, play is one of the five motivators. And so is there something in this to try to challenge him to look at other motivation or to even just start a conversation about what he notices about using urgency and whether he sees any downside of it? Because I think that's one of the things that happens a lot of times is there's, you know, kids use urgency as a motivator because they don't feel the consequences of it yet. You know, it's when they get our age that using urgency is exhausting. So I guess the question is, let's start with buy-in. So how much buy-in do you think you have right now for helping him figure out something other than urgency to use as a motivator?
I'm not sure, because he says that that's what he's motivated by. Like, he thinks that that's the only thing he's motivated by is that urgency. But over, you know, he has these modules that he's got to do. And so we kind of had agreed on that he would do one a day, one module a day. Now he's going to have to do two a day. But, and if he didn't get them done, then the next morning I would put his phone away until he got them done, and then he would get his phone back. And that was kind of working well for him, because that was that was motivating him to get them done so then he can have his phone. And he was okay with that. He was, surprisingly enough, he didn't argue about it. He was like, okay, that's fine. And then so that kind of worked.
So hang on a second, Lauren, because I'm not sure. So fear of losing your phone is different than motivation to get your phone, right? And so fear of losing your phone is actually urgency. It's that same amygdala thing. It works in the body. It works the same as last minute. So if you're trying to avoid last minute because it stresses you out, that's different than trying to avoid last minute because he's using the amygdala and that kind of fight or flight kind of part of your brain. But technically, if he's like, oh my gosh, I can't lose my phone, that would be terrible, that's still urgency. Does it make sense?
I think so. But see, he's okay. He's been okay losing it. I think so. He has lost it, and he loses it, and then he does, rather than him doing his modules late at night, right before they're due, with this new plan, he gets them done in the morning, gets his phone back, and then he's not doing them late at night. Does that make sense?
It does. So I'm not judging it as right or wrong. I'm just calling the question to make sure that it's actually motivation and not stress. And there's a slight distinction.
Yeah, no, I don't know what it, I mean, I really honestly don't know what it is. I just figured we would try it rather than, because otherwise it's him at 11 o'clock at night doing the, you know, they're due, I think, at 11, that you have to have everything due by 11 o'clock at night, which wasn't working for me having him start, you know, at like 9 or 10. So.
The other thing about, you know, the fact that he's, you know, he's 17, right? And so the current motivator that you're putting in place requires a second person coming in and threatening to take something away. And so the question is, how would he duplicate that to himself? So would he say to himself, okay, I have to get this done or I'm going to lose my phone so I can do it tomorrow? You know, it's like, is that something that's reasonably duplicatable? Does it require an outside threat? And so technically he could do that, but would he, you know, what is he really learning about how his brain works with motivation? What he's learning is that there has to be a pretty big incentive for him to get something done if it's not urgent. So what do you think would happen if you had that kind of transparent conversation with him?
I don't know. He's a pretty, like, out-of-the-box thinker of things. I really don't know what he would say. I don't know. I can definitely do that.
Because here's the thing. It's like, if you weren't involved, he might use urgency every day, all day, any day.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an opportunity here to help him see if there's a downside for him to not using urgency. You know, it's like, what if there were seven tests all at once and not just two modules? How would you handle it? And what would you do? You know, you can't always use urgency. You can't always use an outsider. You know, so it's really that sort of raising his awareness around motivation rather than just focusing on motivating him to finish the task.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. What I think he would do is to procrastinate and, you know, do everything else until the very last minute, and then he does his stuff and gets it done and everything works out fine. It usually works out okay for him.
Okay.
So he doesn't really see a need to do anything differently.
Okay, so the snarky part of me wants to say, okay, so what?
Right, and it has worked out okay for him, but part of it, you know, this class that we paid $400 for, and I said, okay, you know, if you don't do well in the class, you're going to pay for the class. But me signing up and paying for it, and then him leaving everything to the last minute, and, like, I just didn't want to do that, but me managing it isn't. Or I guess I'm helping him by saying, okay, let's break it down. You do two modules a day or one module a day or whatever. But I don't know.
So when Elaine and I were talking last week about the difference between supporting and enabling, and the definition that we came down to was that enabling is when you focus just on helping him get the modules done. And supporting is when you're also helping him to figure out how to become more independent in doing work like this. So if you were going to focus on both getting it done and helping him learn about how his brain works and helping him figure out how to get stuff done like this more effectively in the future, what are a few things you might do differently?
I don't know. I mean, we looked at the calendar, and, you know, we looked at it and said, okay, you have this many modules, you have this many days, this is how many you need to do, and I think he gets that. I mean, I think he knows that. I don't know.
So, hey. So hang on with that just for a second. Because so, I remember really distinctly moving from a place where it's like, okay, the first, when you have a project, the first thing we do is we divide it up into pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to this kind of the next phase of scaffolding was, what's the first thing you do when you get a new project? And then they would say, I divide it into pieces and figure out when I'm going to do each piece, right? So it's mm-hmm. that subtle difference between me telling them that the strategy is to break it up into smaller pieces and helping them to see the strategy. So I guess the question is, when you think about you know, you're in charge of the whole project versus he's in charge of the whole project, which would be the two ends of the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
where are there places that he's more in charge and where are the places that you're more in charge?
Well, I mean, he does all of his, you know, he sits down, he watches him, he does his quiz, and he's responsible
so he's
for all
doing
the work.
Actual, he's doing the actual work. And what about all the planning?
Yes, I'm helping him with the planning a lot.
So how much of the planning? A lot. Okay, so scale is 0 to 10, 10 being you're completely doing the whole thing, 0 being he's completely doing the whole planning. Where what kind of number would you give yourself?
Probably an 8 because I print out the calendar and we look at what he's got going on in his life and then figure out when he can do his work.
Okay.
Or maybe
so it sounds like, yeah, so it sounds like one of the things you need to do since he's kind of behind now is kind of revamp the calendar. So mm-hmm. I wonder how you could help him to be more independent in this next stage, which is, hey, we need to look at, you know, you need to shift and stuff around to make sure you get it done. What do you want to do to make that happen and how can I help? As opposed to, okay, let's sit down, look at the calendar again, figure it out again, that sort of thing. So what's the opportunity there to kind of help him to step in a little bit more on the planning?
Are you?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So what do you think you would need to do differently that to in order to help him to do that more? Is it about letting go? Is it about setting the stage with him? Is it about asking more questions? What do you think is going to be most helpful for you?
I don't know because I think he is lacking severely the planning, like, skills. But I get that he needs to do that in order to learn how to do that.
Okay. So if he's lacking the skills, then instead of you doing the planning, it's you partnering with him to do the planning. So
mm-hmm.
is it about being a little bit more transparent as you do it the next time? Is it about asking him to take, you know, to asking him questions to see what part he remembers, you know,
mm-hmm.
where do you think, where is
well,
it?
Well, I think he just doesn't know how to do that. So that's why this time I said, okay, let's print it on a calendar and let's look at it. And that worked okay. But I think if I said, I mean, I can ask him, but I think if I said, okay, here's the calendar and you know how many modules you have, you know how many days, I think he'd be like, okay. And then I don't think much would happen with that. I don't know that he would. I think that would be very overwhelming to him to think, oh, my gosh, how do I, like, figure this all out?
Well, and I'm curious, if you said to him, hey, because it sounds, is it true that he needs to regroup and readjust
his plan? Yes, because.
Okay.
Yeah, because.
So what if you started with that and say, hey, buddy, I know you need to regroup and adjust your plan because you're behind on your modules from your original plan. What part of the new plan do you want to do?
He technically wasn't, though. He technically was on time for his new ones, but now he has his old ones. He was on time for those, but now he has new ones starting up again, and he has to do double what he did the first time, basically. So the first ones did go okay, but now we've got – he's got to step it up in order to, just because he has more modules and less time.
Okay.
that makes
so
sense.
Is the plan already there, or does the plan need to be created?
Kind of both. I mean, it's not set out. He hasn't looked at it and said, okay, I only have these days because we're going out of town. And he's like, well, I can just do it there. I'm like, you're not going to feel like, you know, when we're out of town, you're not going to feel like coming back at 8 o'clock and working on your modules. And he's like, yeah, I guess you're right. But so we've kind of talked about it, but it's not really concrete. Like, okay, here's what you need to do, or here's what I need to do. So I think it's both. I mean, we kind of have a rough idea, but it's not a concrete plan in my mind.
Okay. So where does that leave you in terms of next steps with him?
I think we just need to talk about it. I think I need to say, we talked about it a little bit. I just want to make sure that, like, you know what you're doing. How can I help you with that? And he'll probably say, I got it, because he says he's got it a lot, and he's good, and he's got it. And I think I say then, okay, like, what's your plan? Make sure that he has a plan, I guess. I don't know, because when they're 17, I don't think they like to, like, you know, he says he's got it and he wants to be independent, but then isn't, so then there's that whole challenge. But I don't know. Does that make sense for
it
me?
It does make
for
sense.
I think that
it does make sense. I think that it's this, you're in this interesting space where you want to try to help him to be independent, and you want to make sure he gets it done. And so it's that sort of balancing act. And I think that that's the piece is, like, on a day-to-day basis. I think what it really comes down to is, you know, where do you take a little bit of risk in order to help try to engage him more in the process, help him to be a little bit more independent, and where do you just kind of buckle in and say, look, we got to get this done because I don't want to spend my vacation hovering over you while you're doing your modules, right?
Right.
So when I say that, what's most important for you to remember?
Just that that's probably going to be the next several years of helping him be independent. I mean, he gets the work done. He for whatever reason, he's motivated to get his work done. He's motivated to get good grades and to get his work done. So that's great. But it would be nice to get it done, not in the 12th hour consistently. Because ultimately there's going to be times when he just can't get it done, and he's going to have to learn from those times. But I think more of my focus needs to be on helping him to be independent than on getting his work done, because most of the time he gets it done.
Okay.
Does that make, am I making any sense at all?
It does. And again, it's this sort of, you're not looking for a right answer. I think that that's ultimately what you're coming down to, is that there's not a right answer here. And it's really about the yes and that you're describing, which is sometimes you hold him accountable and sometimes you help him. And I think that this, it's the kind of raising your consciousness and raising your awareness to make sure you're doing both at the same time. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right, Jennifer, what about you? Let's kind of move. If any parting comments before we go into our final four questions?
No. No, I don't.
All right. So let's just kind of do our wrap up on page. Where are we? 39? 59? I can't see what the number is. I'm too blind.
Diane.
58. 59. Yes, Jennifer.
When you had said that you and Eileen had came up with sort of definitions for enabling versus supporting. I think I got the enabling one, that enabling is help them to just get something done, just to do it. And supporting is helping them to learn how to get something done. Is that correct?
Yeah, so you're helping them to become more independent in getting it done, right? Because you're
okay.
not just focused on getting the assignment done, you're also focused on how do I help them become more independent. It's not about getting them to be independent, which is ultimately the end point, but it's a process of saying, you know, yes, I want to get this done, and I want to help them become more independent. So you're doing both at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so the four questions to close out are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success? So take a minute, jot down some notes with all four of those questions, and I would love to hear from both of you at least one aha and one commitment for what you're going to do moving forward.
I think my aha was what I had just talked, even though I've heard this tons of time before, the supporting versus enabling, and that supporting is the process of having him become independent. And then I think what I'm going to work on is just trying to relax more and lightening up and just trying to have some more play and look for more opportunities to have fun. Because, you know, I hits me that, you know, I have such a little bit of time left with him.
Mine are the same exact as Jennifer.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just
say it.
My aha is helping or to focus on helping him to be more independent and having those conversations about how I can help him basically to do that. And then I think it's important also to have fun and just in lots of different aspects of our days. And also, of course, to help that awareness of helping them to be independent.
Awesome. Cool. All right. So just a quick touch base on schedule. Next week is a holiday week. We do not have, let me just make sure that's true. We do not have any calls next week, and then we have a PSS week again the week of the 10th. So we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Jennifer, I hope you do have a good birthday.
Thank you.
And
all right, guys.
Is it okay if we come on Tuesday or Thursday? We can just join in whichever one.
Join whichever one you want. It's no big deal. Glad to have you here,
Okay. Mom. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.